They'd been married about 20 years, but at least from her perspective, things weren't going the way they ought to go, and he wasn't quite sure what the problem was, but she was unhappy. She felt like he didn't communicate affection very well, and she didn't feel loved, and so finally the tension got to the point where she was able to get him to come into a counselor. Of course, most men would rather be drugged through broken glass than go to a counselor. But finally, he was willing to go, and sitting there and uncomfortably in the session as she explained that she didn't feel like he had was affirming her, communicating love to her. And finally, in frustration, he burst into the conversation. He said, "I just don't understand what the problem is." He said, "I told her I loved her 20 years ago when we got married, and if anything changes, I'd let her know." And there are a few men in the crowd going, "Yeah, they're a problem." Of course, it doesn't work that way. You can't just take important relationships for granted. In Luke chapter 14, there's a text that tries to communicate that message to us about the danger of taking important things for granted. Let's look there. Luke chapter 14. We'll start with verse 15. It's a parable about a great banquet that has a lesson about too casual presumption, taking important things for granted. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there still is room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Lord, help us today to hear your word. By the power and insight of your Holy Spirit, to be able to discern the words, the truth of life. And Lord, would you help us not only to understand it with our minds, but that you might make its truth powerful and revealing in our lives, that we might be more faithfully conformed to the pattern of your will for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's set the story in context. Parts of it would be similar to us, and some would be a little bit different. The picture is of a lord, someone of some importance, who's planned a great banquet, and apparently a large event, significant event. He's invited folks to come, and the story seems to make it clear that the folks he's invited would be probably the who's who of that local town. He's invited the people of prominence and position, the kind of people that have social graces, the kind of people that would be fun to be around, the kind of people would have the right kind of clothes to wear and know how to wear them and to comport themselves. And he's invited all those people to come. Now, in the first century, of course, they didn't all have iPods or iPhones, and so they had to schedule things in a looser kind of way than we do. Not necessarily a bad thing, but the pattern would be in the first century that if you were planning a special event, that you would have two invitations. You'd send out a preliminary invitation, and it would say, well, on this particular day, in the afternoon or the evening, we're going to have an event to celebrate this, whatever it is we're wanting to celebrate, and we want to invite you to come. Are you free? Would you be willing to come for this event on this day? And then you would agree or disagree, say, I'm going to be out of town or I'm going to be there. And so you would give an agreement to come. But since food preparation and all those things were much more imprecise, the situation was much more fluid, time was more open, the invitation wouldn't include a time. It would say, like, for instance, okay, on this particular date, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we expect you there at the banquet hall. It would be a general invitation. It would say, on this particular date, in, you know, the afternoon or the evening or sometime late in the day, we'll be gathering. And then, on that day, when it was clear the food was prepared and the banquet was about ready and the time is about right, then the Lord would send out His servants again, and they would make their rounds through the community to let people know, okay, it's time now. And it might be 2 o'clock or 3 or 4 o'clock, but folks had a little more fluid lifestyle then. They weren't quite as scheduled. They hadn't invented daytimers yet. And so the servants of the master would go out and let the people know with the expectation that when they would come through and say, the meal is about ready and it's time to come, that the people would say, okay, good, we've kind of been waiting. We're ready to go. Let us just pull on our cloaks or finish a few things, and we'll be right behind you, and we'll be there in just a few minutes, ready for the banquet. But in this case, the Lord's servants go to the houses, and they say to the folks, well, the food's just about ready. The banquet's about ready to begin, so it's time to gather in. And folks then responded with these excuses. Now, they're a little weak, even to our perceptions. You know, I bought a field. I have to go look at it. I've got a new team of oxen, and I just can't wait to get up there and try them out. You know, it's like the... I don't miss being a young person in some ways. You know, calling the girl, and she's not free on Friday night because she's washing her hair. One of those kinds of excuses, you know, that aren't really compelling. And they're a little rude in our culture. It'd be a little thoughtless. We'd be a little stung by them in our culture. But to get the sense of the power of this story in its context, in that culture, it was highly offensive. It wasn't just in poor taste. It was a slap in the face. One source that I read said in the contemporary Arab culture, it amounted to a declaration of war. To accept the first invitation, and then when the final invitation comes to say, no, I'm not coming, was about as rude, about as offensive a thing as you could do. And so it's not surprising then in the text that we see that when the servants go back to the master of the banquet and he hears these excuses, he's highly offended. These people who have said they would come are indifferent and not coming. And so in response, he does the surprising thing. He sends his servants out to gather in other attenders. And this time he goes to a different kind of invitation list, and he includes a different category of people. He says, go out into the streets and the alleys. Well, that language, we're familiar with it, but it doesn't really apply. I mean, we have streets and we have alleys, but in this world, to send someone into the streets and alleys means to go into the poorer area of the town. It means to go into the place where the wrong side of the tracks, where the wrong people live, the people that wouldn't normally be invited. And to make it clear, he identifies who they should be looking for there. The poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. That is, not only not only sort of a second class of citizen, but the most unlikely candidates to be invited. To be lame is to be excluded even from the fellowship of the synagogue, to be able to step into the temple. It's to be excluded, really, from the worshiping community of God's people because you're a flawed person. So this category of people who are on the margins of society, those are the folks that he sends the servants to. And then the servants come back and say, well, we got all those folks. They're a little surprised by the invitation, but their calendars were open, so they've come. But we still have room. So he says, well, go outside the city to the highways and the byways. And that's a significant thing for him. Now he goes outside of the community itself to those that are outsiders to the community, those that are foreigners, those that don't even have a place within the city itself, that don't belong to the community. It's going outside of the community, the people that aren't even allowed to stay, aren't invited to live in the city. And he says, go get those folks and compel them in. Now he doesn't really mean to force them, but he means to entreat them, to invite them. Probably to overcome their objections. I can imagine how those conversations would have gone. I mean, you can imagine you're outside the city and you're an outsider to the culture. You don't have the right clothes. You don't speak in the right way. You're probably not as clean as you're supposed to be. You don't have the kind of fancy robes, the dress that you would be expected to wear for a banquet like this. I mean, there's certain protocol you have to follow, certain standards to be kept, and you would know that you wouldn't keep them. And then someone comes and says, now you're invited to the feast. You're invited into the house of maybe the wealthiest man in the community. He wants to have you as a guest at his banquet, and you'd be wondering what that meant, and you'd be protesting to say, you know, I don't even know him. I don't belong to that class. I don't have the right kind of clothes. I don't have a thing to wear. I'm not really prepared. And you'd have to compel. That is, you'd have to say, it doesn't matter. You're invited to come just as you are. You're invited to come just as who you are. You're invited to come without any expectations for meeting a standard. The master has sent us to come out here and get you and to drag you in, even though you're not quite sure, to make sure that you are clear, that you are invited into the feast. And then the banquet hall is full. Well, it's a powerful parable. It seems to me that it has two sides to it, as Jesus' teaching often does. One side is a word of warning. The other is a message of grace. The word of warning is the most obvious. The parable ends with this somber word of judgment. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. It's a tone for Jesus that I'm uncomfortable with. It's a message that is hard for me to not only hear, but to say. I'm not very good, really, at fire and brimstone. But I think I have to accept that if I'm faithful to the text, I'm not being faithful to you if I don't call you to hear this as a word of warning. Jesus extends an invitation to the kingdom. He invites us to come, but we have to come. And I'd like to expand the sense of it maybe just for a few moments as we work through what this means. That is, in the culture that Jesus is living in and talking to, when he talks about the decision-making of those who come, in that culture, it wasn't as individual. So the folks that would be deciding about coming would be the head of the family. And so when the head of the family made a decision, everybody in that family followed that decision. And therefore, everybody in that family received the blessings if he made good decisions. They suffered the consequences if he made bad decisions. It seems to me it's worth noting that in the context of the flavor of our service today, thinking about our children and thinking about God's call to us and emphasizing the caution, the warning that is to us not only for our own selves, which it certainly is, but to our children, to those who follow us. Our children and those who follow us, if they follow our example, will they give the right answer to the messengers of the Lord of the banquet? Now, the excuses that the folks give in this parable, they're not intended to be comprehensive, but they are revealing. One has to do with business. I can't attend to the call to the kingdom. I can't attend to the participation in the life of the kingdom. I can't break away to give myself to what the kingdom calls me to, because I have business affairs to take care of. I have money to make, sales to pursue, work to get done. One of them was about possessions. I can't give myself to the life of the kingdom. I can't give myself to be there to participate in the way that I should participate or to do what really you'd like me to do because, well, I've got a new boat or a new cottage or a new condo or I've got a new something else and I can't wait to try it out. Or even, ironically, even family. You know, we'd love to be there, Pastor, but you know we can't. We've got the junior soccer tournament or the ballet program or fill in the blanks. Now, don't hear me wrong here. I'm not against that stuff, and I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just trying to be faithful to the message of this text and to say, I'm not your judge. You don't have to justify your decisions to me. But I want to hear you, but I want you to hear me saying this text is calling us to be attentive to the decisions that we're making. And in the end, you're not accountable to me, but you are accountable to Him. And accountable not only for yourself, but for those that follow your lead. Parents, some of us who have grown up in the church, we remember being there every time the door was open, and our commitment to the church or our personal commitment to Christ is so strong that the reality is that commitment will persist even if our participation is indifferent. That is, we still envision ourselves as Christian. We'll still identify ourselves as persons of faith. We'll still connect ourselves to the faith and root our identity in the church, even if we're at the lake or on the road or wherever we're at. But we forget. Our children didn't have our experience. They're having their experience. And their experience is of the modeling that we're showing. And it's a sad thing when parents who have deep roots in the church, but they didn't want to be as legalistic or they were a little more free, and so they made different kinds of decisions, all the time assuming their children would retain the same kind of deep-rootedness that they started with. Only then to come back and say, Pastor, I don't know what happened. I mean, we've always been in the church, and now our son's 20, and he doesn't go at all. He's not interested. Or he comes when he can, but, you know, he's busy on this sports project or work project or whatever it is that pulls him away. And when he's as free time, he drops in, but his priorities are somewhere else. Hear the warning. If your children are as responsive to the invitation to the kingdom and the life of the kingdom as they see in your life, will that be enough? Because that's the message they hear. Now, that's a somber message. You need to hear it. It's important. I don't want to not say that to you and then 6 years, 10 years later, have you wish you'd have heard it today. But I don't want to end there. I want to get your attention to that message for yourself and for your children. But I don't want to end there because I think the dominant message of this story is grace. I mean, one of the messages that comes from this story is that it was never about being worthy. It was always about being willing to come. And that's good news. The issue of the kingdom, the invitation of the kingdom, the banquet feast of the kingdom was never about only getting the right kind of people. It was about filling the hall, which means that you are all invited. Whether you have the right clothes, the right stuff, you know how to talk, you know how to walk the walk, you know the vocabulary. When any of that's true, you are on God's invitation list. He wants you to be a part of the life and promise of the kingdom. And notice then what that tells us about God's disposition toward us. He wants us all to come. Not to force us, not to make it a point of obligation, but because the party is happening in the banquet. It's always the truth. The party is at the banquet. And it isn't about an obligation or duty or forcing you to do something you don't want to do, making you do something that really will make you miserable, but it'll help you in the long term. No, it's always about inviting you to the party, because the real party only happens in the kingdom of God. And God wants you there. Well, there are a lot of places in there to connect. But the Holy Spirit knows where you are. And God is still a God of invitation, and that's how I want to end the service this morning. I want us to sing a verse and a chorus of an old invitation song. Some of you may know it, some of you may not, but it's very simple, and the message is quite simple and clear. It's a prayer. It just says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While in others you're calling, don't pass me by." Because God's messengers are out in the highways and the byways, the streets and the alleys, calling out to the broken and the lame and the wounded and the needy, saying, "Y'all come." And this song is just a prayer saying, "Lord, as you're coming down my alley and my street, my highway, my lane, my place, don't miss me. I want to be invited." And maybe you'd say, I'm amazed I would be included. Maybe your initial response would be to say, "Well, I'm not the right person. I don't have the right stuff. I don't have the right clothes. I don't know how to act. I don't belong to that group." But to say, "Lord, come and compel me in. If you want me that much, just don't pass me by." And I want to encourage you to make that your prayer this morning as we end this service. And it may be that you'd want to come and pray. And that is a great thing to do. It may be you'd pray right where you are, and that's a great thing too. But I want to invite you as we sing this to make this your prayer. The God who seeks, and if you won't come, you can be left outside the door. But if you're willing to come, the doors are wide open. Would you stand together, sing this with me? Make this your response to God. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. not pass me by. A couple have come. I'd like to sing it one more time. That's all we'll do. I'm not trying to press you, but I want the invitation to be clear and open and long enough for you to be able to respond to Him and to come and join the party of the kingdom. Let's sing it one more time. If God is dealing with you, respond to Him, would you? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Service will be over. I'd like, as we go to prayer, for some to come and just gather around these, not to pry or intrude, but just to support and come alongside and pray with and for them. Would you go ahead and come? And we're going to pray, and then after that prayer, you're going to be dismissed. I'd ask you to slip out quietly in a spirit of prayer while folks are here. Lord, we are so grateful that You are a God who comes. You're a God who seeks. You're a God who sends the invitations out into the alleys and the side streets of life, that seeks the outsider beyond the walls of the city of prosperity and opportunity and belonging to find us and to call us in. And Lord, we want to be those that give the right answer to Your call. Lord, would You give us a heart to respond to You? Would You help us to think about our response, our modeling for our children? Think about these precious children we saw today. And Lord, think about the modeling that we're sharing with them as parents and godparents and grandparents and friends. And pray, God, that You would help us to be living before them in a way that if they follow our example, when the invitation comes to the banquet, they'll say, I'm ready, I'm coming, I want to be there. I wouldn't miss it for the world. Lord, for those who are here praying and those across this room who are in a private place saying, Lord, don't pass me by. I need You in a special way today. Would You just come? Your Spirit, would You let it just settle here where we long for You, where we thirst for You? Lord, help us to be those who are on our way to the feast, to the great banquet. You have made us Your guests. You have blessed us as Your children. We thank You that we can live today. We can go from this place as those who are invited to the great banquet feast, who are the special friends of the Most High God, who have been made a way into the blessings of all the things that God's kingdom has to offer us. And help us to live in that reality and hope and power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. God bless you.